few weeks in the newsletter and on our Facebook page and here Sunday morning last week, we've been making some announcements about, number one, our theme for this year. Kevin has preached under a theme over the last couple of years, and this year it is all of us, all in, all the time. So he laid out a little bit last week about what that would look like, and obviously we'll continue to do that over the next year. With that theme, we've also talked about some staff changes that have happened. We recognize the need for an involvement minister, is what we've called it. And after we created that position and spent some time in prayer, like he mentioned last week, I approached them about, hey, that's a ministry I would be interested in. I think that is something that I would enjoy and that I think God has gifted me to do. And that means we needed someone to take on the children's role. And so we've hired Haley Johnson to do that. She's a teacher in the school system, and she will be fantastic at that role. And so we have put those things in place. And after he made that announcement about an involvement minister, I had a number of people come to me and say, well, what does that mean? What is an involvement minister? We don't know what that entails. And so that's fair. That's a fair question. All right. So this morning, my goal is to kind of shed some light on what that looks like, how that fits into our theme for the year, and just really what our plans are for this next year ahead. So as we created that position, that we had two ideas in mind, really. One of them was getting people involved in a place where they can serve. We have a ton of areas of ministry that are happening here. We have roles that take place all the time, whether it's Sunday morning or throughout the week or special events, and it takes a lot of people to make those things happen. We'll look at those in a little bit. Frank, we need someone to figure out why our screen blanks out every 5 seconds, because I'm not smart enough to figure it out, and so someone who's good with technology, we need you to figure that one out for us, because it's super annoying, right? We have a lot of areas that we need people to get involved in. The other area, though, is that we want to get people involved in an area where they can grow. We need more groups that are meeting, where Christians are sitting down together and opening the Bible and encouraging one another and lifting each other up. And so that is the idea behind this change that we've made, to plug people into service, plug people into places where they can grow. And the reason behind that is not because, hey, we need warm bodies to fill a spot. The reason behind that is not we just want to guilt you into doing more things, okay? The reason behind this is because that's God's design for the church. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and I couldn't think of a better passage to look at that shows that this is what God's plan for the church is, that people who are there would be serving and that people who are there would be growing in maturity with one another. And the reason that I say I don't want to like guilt you into this as we go throughout this year, it's very possible the Holy Spirit will convict you towards that, and you should listen to that. But if you serve based on guilt, or if you just say, well, I need to get plugged into this area to grow based on guilt, then you won't last. And that's not what we want. We are wanting disciples for the long haul. And the other reason that this has to be driven by, okay, this is God's plan for the church, there are so many people we see over the years who they get on fire for God, they start coming, they've even made a decision, and they're here for a while, and then they fade. And we don't see them any longer. And one of the main reasons for that is because, for them, church is a spectator sport. And that's not how God has designed it to be. If your idea of church is coming and you sit in the pews and you think, well, I'll just let Kevin or Elijah entertain me each Sunday morning for an hour at a time, like, we're not very good entertainers, okay? If you want to be entertained, then go watch the Chiefs, go see a movie, go to T-Mobile Center and watch a concert or something. That is not the goal here. But so many people come and they think, well, this is what church is, I guess. We come once a week and we sit in a pew and we sing some songs and then we listen to someone talk and it's okay for a while. Maybe what they say is different and I've never really heard that before and the interest is piqued for a time being, but that doesn't last for very long. Unless we get plugged into places, unless we serve in the way that God has called us to, unless we jump in with other Christians and grow in maturity together the way that God has called us to, then the Christianity I described is kind of boring. That's why some people, I've only been up here a few minutes, some of you are already falling asleep, right? I mean, that's why we need this in our church, and that's what we're excited about, all right? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cutting with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." This passage begins talking about the spiritual gifts that are given to every member of the body. And this is only a short list. There are other passages. 1 Corinthians 12 lists many more spiritual gifts. And our purpose this morning isn't really to dive into those, but just to understand, we've all been given areas that we are made to contribute to the church with. We've all been given spiritual gifts. We've all been given talents, and God has designed it in a way that every part needs to fit together and work together to make the body function the way that it should. We're in the middle of the NFL playoffs, and every year it's amazing to me. You hear about players playing through injuries. I thought back to Byron Leftwich. He was an NFL quarterback for a while. He's probably been retired on like 8 years now or something like that. But his probably most famous moment of his career was in college. He played for Marshall University. He blew his knee out during a game, and he continued to play. And it was near the end of the game, probably like a two-minute drive or something. He would complete the pass, and then two of his linemen would pick him up and carry him down the field so that he could hike the ball again and keep playing. Just unreal level of pain management there, right? You see guys play with like a club for their hand, their finger or their wrist or something is broken, and so they just wrap it up and they can't even grab someone, but they go out there and play. I heard of someone, I can't remember who it was, that I think it was a quarterback that had been playing with a couple of fractures in his back over the last few weeks. Just unreal levels of toughness, or maybe stupidity, I don't know, of NFL players, right? You know what's an injury that you very rarely hear someone playing through? That sounds surprising on the surface? It's called turf toe. People get this injury called turf toe, and it shuts them down. Even Hall of Fame players, Deion Sanders and Jack Lambert, he was a linebacker for the Steelers 50 years ago probably, it ended their career. It's a torn ligament in the big toe, and it sounds painful, but man, when you think about all those other people, you're like, well, broken bones and blown out knees, like they're playing through that. How does a toe take someone out of the game? Every part is important. Every piece of the body is extremely important. And the things that you have to offer, we need them. We need every gift that God has enabled the church with. We need your talents and your gifts. Wednesday night, Bryce Gordon told me that he had a Scholar Bowl meet, and not only did Nevada win, he was the high scorer of the entire tournament. Which means, like, Bryce is smarter than me already, and so we need Bryce's intelligence to contribute to the body. We need everyone contributing together and working together to make things happen. You've all been given those abilities, and so tap into those. What has God placed in you that can contribute to the body? Not only has God given us those abilities, but that's the call on our life. He expects us to serve. When he talks to his disciples at different times, he says, "Do you know what greatness looks like?" His disciples come to him and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And his answer to them is, "You guys have it all wrong. You know how you want to be great? You serve. You put yourself below other people. You look out for the needs of other people. You serve." And he set the example for us. The call of God for the church is that every person jumps in and works together. Let me give you an example. This week, Cajun texted me and said that Beretta had made a decision and that soon she wants to be baptized. And Brady and Cajun have been the primary disciplers of her, right, in their home. They've been teaching her and instructing her on what it looks like to follow after Jesus. But they're also part of a church that does that. Over the last few years, she has had different Sunday school teachers and different children's church teachers and different people on Wednesday night and people who have taken her to camp and who have helped with VBS. Everyone jumps in and passes on these little nuggets of, hey, this is what it looks like to serve Jesus. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus, so that people make disciples together. Can I tell you a pet peeve of mine? And it bothers me more than it probably should, but it also is a little bit of a mindset that I want to see us change. Sometimes people will walk in and they'll see, like, an event that's obviously going to happen, things are set up, or there's a dinner, and they'll ask me a question like, "Oh, do you guys have something going on today?" And I'm not talking about a random visitor. Like, this is people in our church, right? And I want to say, no, like, I don't have anything going on. We have something going on, though, yes. Kevin and I don't do anything here apart from everyone else, okay? There's, you know, any of you guys have a swear jar in your house that you put out or when you're growing up? I want to put a you jar at the Welcome Center. And every time you all say, "Hey, do you guys have a dinner or do you have something going on?" I'm going to start telling you to put quarters in there, because we do things together. I don't actually have that authority, don't worry. That doesn't come with this new job. But it's a mindset change that we have to get past. Kevin and I, if we were left to our own devices, we would not accomplish very much. Or Haley, or the elders, or the worship team. It takes everyone. We gather together to worship. We study together. We celebrate together. We mourn together. We laugh together. We cry together. We advance the kingdom of God to his glory together. Because that's God's design for the church. And that's the call that we are hoping to put on each of us this year. Now, I told you I didn't want you to serve out of guilt. But I also have to say something here that maybe is going to step on some toes. My guess is that in this room, when it comes to politics, that most people lean maybe a certain way. And within that party that I would guess most people lean towards, there is a belief there that we think, hey, you know what? It's a good idea if people contribute to society. Not the best thing to just hand out things to people and for people to consume things but never contribute to the organization that they're a part of. Just my guess, right? And if that is true, if my speculation is correct, that means there are also people here who vote and approach church in different ways. Because there are some people here who come and they consume things on a Sunday morning, but they don't really do much to contribute other than that. Okay? Now, hopefully I've said that as well as I can. If that upsets you, then my email is on the front of the bulletin. It's the one that's kevin.reinhartchurch. So I know that doesn't sound right, but just trust me. That's where any comments can go, okay? Not only do we want people to be involved in areas where they can serve, we want people to be involved in areas where they can grow. If you notice in this passage, it is full of this idea of not only are we a body serving together, but it says we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. We grow together. We mature together. Whenever we talk about our vision of love God, live like Jesus, and lift others, living like Jesus, that is the idea of maturity. That our thoughts and our words and our actions become more and more like Him every day. That our own wants and desires are put to the side as we strive to be more Christ-like every day. And we need other people to help us do that. Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are designed to be in community together. There is something special that happens when Christians sit down and open the Word of God together and study it. We need each other's insights. We need the knowledge that each other has. We need to be able to rely on each other and count on each other. And so our hope is that we get more groups started that can do that. We have some life groups that meet throughout the week, and we would love to see more of those happen, which means we need people who are willing to lead those groups, and we need people who are willing to commit to those groups. It is a time commitment. It takes an effort on people's parts to say, okay, I'm going to set aside a little bit of time once every couple weeks to be a part of that group. And can I also say that you don't have to be a spiritual giant to lead a life group or a small group. We can help you with that. We can point you to studies. We can help you get going with that. We just need people who are willing to say, God, you lead and I'll follow. Not only do we want to see those things happen, we've recognized we don't really have men's ministry things going on. We don't really have a lot of women's ministry events going on. Things happen here or there, but we would love to see those two areas grow. There's a lot of ministries we would like to see added. And maybe that's where you come into play. There's a lot of different ways that we can serve currently in the church. But man, maybe there's other things that aren't even on this list that you have a passion for. Maybe God has placed a group of people in your mind like, hey, I would love to see like a widow's or a widower's ministry started. I would love to see college age ministry started. I would love to see special needs ministry started. I don't know what it is, but maybe God has put a fire in your heart for something. And if you come to me and tell me, hey, this is where I feel God is leading, then I'll do everything I can to help you get that going. I don't know what it may be. There's probably a lot of things that we could do beyond what's already going on that would advance God's kingdom. And so we want to see those things take off. We need those groups, not just to grow in our maturity and our knowledge of God's word together, but we need to hold each other accountable. Like that verse says, iron sharpens iron. It's not an easy process, right? Have you ever seen a blacksmith work where they're pounding out a sword, or you've watched the show maybe Forged in Fire or something like that? That's a pretty intense process, right? Where they're shaping a blade or an instrument into something that it should be. But that's what the Christian life requires. I need people who love me enough to speak the truth in love to tell me when my attitude isn't Christ-like. I need people who love me enough to tell me, hey, you're not being a good husband right now. You're not being a good father right now. You're not leading the way that God has called you to lead right now. We need each other, which means we have to be willing to step into a group where we get close enough to each other to, number one, have the right to say those things, and number two, be close enough to each other to recognize those things. And so that's our encouragement. We want you to get involved in a place where you can rub shoulders with other Christians and grow in your maturity, not only in knowledge, but in Christ-likeness together. This week, I read a letter from the Surgeon General. His name is Vivek Murthy, and he obviously will be stepping out of that role here and then this week. And so he wrote a letter to just the nation of, he wanted to share his heart for just the way he sees things going in terms of people's health and mental health and all of that. And when I read it, it struck me as like, I think this guy gets it. I don't really know anything else about him, but his letter was pretty good. And so I quote, "What are the deeper root causes of the pain and unhappiness I encounter so often across our country? Answering this question is urgent because the status quo is harming our physical and mental health, robbing us of our optimism, and contributing to division and polarization. There are well-known contributors to stress and discontent, economic hardship, worries about the future, the negative headlines that dominate our feeds. But even when these and other issues are addressed, there is often still something missing. After years of reflecting on the stories I have heard, delving into scientific data, and convening researchers, I have come to see that there are three essential elements that fuel our fulfillment and well-being: relationships, service, and purpose. One of the leading health experts in our country, who again has looked at the data, he has interviewed hundreds and thousands of people, this is his world, and he looks at the country and says, people are missing something. And the thing that I often see that they are missing is this idea of a purpose and service and relationships. And I don't know if he knows it, but the reason that people need those things is because that's how God has designed us. God has given us a purpose, that we glorify him with everything that we do, that we advance his kingdom. And the primary way that he has called us to do that is through service and through relationships. And that's our goal this year. That's what we are calling you to, that you would get involved in a place where you can serve, and that you would get involved in a place where you can build relationships and grow into Christ's likeness alongside other brothers and sisters. So I have two hopes for you. I have two things to ask of you. Number one, if you see my name pop up on your phone, please don't send me to voicemail. Answer my call so that I can talk with you about some of these things in the future. But more importantly, I would just ask that you start praying. And that you would ask God to lay on your heart, where can I jump in? God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do so that we can fulfill what God has called us to? Would you pray? Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us over the last few years. Thank you that we need these changes to happen because you've sent people our way. And God, we give you all the glory for that. As we continue to grow and advance your kingdom, we ask that you give us wisdom, that you would help us to serve well, that you would help us to reach our community, that you would help us to love each other and hold each other accountable in the way that we need to. God, thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.